Ana Oli Pop Rock Radio. Estás escuchando Jamie Rock de Pop Rock Radio. Manténganse al tanto.
Hey, det här är Hits on Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rock Radio med Jamie Rock.
Hey everybody, welcome to the show. This is the Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. I'm your host, pop art painter Jamie Rocks, and this is the big show. You found it. I sure am glad you did. As are our advertisers. Remember, I'm not going to be one of those lame YouTube people that tell you to like and subscribe before you even watch what the hell you're watching. Keep it in mind after you've watched it, and if you feel that's something you might want to do, cool. But no, advertising, very important. A lot of advertisers these days, they've changed. They used to have a space with a code where you could save some money. Nobody's doing that anymore. But they do have a space where you, how'd you hear about it? Just put in Rocks, R-O-X-X, or the guy with the hair who has the cool guests. So that'll probably get the whole thing is they need to know where to send the check. And we certainly appreciate that. So there you go. Anyhow, I am super excited. We've always got really good guests on, but tonight, somebody whose talent just blows me away, the fine folks over at Trend PR sent over his press kit and everything to me and said, hey, would you like? And I'm like, checked it out. I'm like, hell yes. It's just fantastic. He's fantastic. And I'm at that age where I love seeing something new that I haven't seen 87 times before. It's just, if you're not there already, kids, believe me, you will get to that point. It's insane. And he fits that bill there. I was just so, it's so fresh, it's so cool, and it's just cool. That's with a capital C, man. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome our guest tonight, Jeepers. Hey, buddy, how are you?
Jeepers Creepers. Thank you, Jamie. I appreciate it. That's very, very kind words. That's very nice of you.
It's very true.
Thank you.
You hit the mark on so many things as far as, and I get it, you're young, you've grown up with social media and whatnot, and having an awareness of branding. Mm-hmm. And people did before, like in my general, we just didn't have a name for it. We didn't know what to call it.
Sure.
Our image, but image isn't just what you look like. Image brand follows through the whole gamut.
Absolutely. And
you're really, really good at that. You know,
thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Any young bands out there or any new band music, I don't care what you are. If you're baking bread, I don't care. Get your little pad of paper out. When you find somebody who's doing something well, here's a secret for success. Write that shit down. Branding. Ask yourself, this guy's kicking ass. What is he doing that I could do in a similar way for whatever I'm doing?
Sure. I would like to say that's my marketing degree coming through, but I didn't pay attention in any of those classes.
Oh,
so.
I got that.
Yeah.
But I think just from osmosis, some stuff seeped in because you're really good at it.
Now, I appreciate that. That's very kind.
We were talking before the show off mic, as they say.
Off mic, exactly. Off mic on camera.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. About growing up and whatnot. You grew up East Coast. East Coaster. Fella, and now you're LA based.
Mm-hmm. Just recently, back in August of 2024. Brand new.
Now, that's quite the culture shift. You know, one of the great things, we don't have lake effect snow. But I'm sorry about the fire tornadoes and shit that just passed. Jeez.
Thank you. I know. I appreciate that. I'm happy and lucky to be safe.
Have you been through an earthquake yet?
No, actually. Or at least not one significant enough that I've noticed it.
I gotcha. So that's usually how it goes. They'll happen at night and you just don't even wait. You don't even know
exactly
about it.
Right. Wow. So I may have been here for one, but nothing that notified me.
Crazy. Yeah, it's a weird world, man. It's a weird world. So you got out to LA, and now let me ask you this: when you were a young lad, did you think that pop star was in the future?
Not at all.
That a goal? You were always into music.
Well, I've always been into music my whole life. My mom is a piano teacher and a church organist. My dad was a music composition major in college, and he also does some production himself. But I taught myself a few instruments. I taught myself piano because my mom was always a little too tired to teach me how to right. teach me after her day and of you, teaching piano.
And you weren't giving her a so
I wasn't yeah, giving no. her a check, right? And so I don't blame her, but I was lucky enough to have a piano to practice on, to try. And then in school, I played the cello, which I did not continue doing, but it did help me learn how to play the bass guitar because they're sort of the same.
Right.
And then I played those instruments throughout middle school, high school, elementary school. I was a theater kid in high school. It wasn't something that I did, or it was something I did significantly, but it wasn't something that I had a huge passion for.
I got you.
But then,
That's good because, folks, if you can figure out, everybody always tells you, when you're young, figure out what the hell you want to do. And so you can kind of guide your courses, your schooling, your activities towards that. I will counter, equally as important, figure out what the hell you don't want to do. So you can guide your schooling, activities.
That's the truth.
You know, it's
easier to steer away from things you don't like than find the things you do.
And you don't want to be 45 figuring that shit out.
Ain't that the truth? Yeah.
I've known people.
I'm sure.
Yeah. And but that's cool. So yeah. You continued on.
I sure did. And then in the summer of 2020, the big COVID year, I would be going into my freshman year of college while I was just at home, not doing very much. I downloaded GarageBand on my phone and played around with it. There was a song by Peach Pit called Black Licorice that I loved. And I just tried to sort of recreate it, see what I could do, and sort of caught a spark. And then started watching YouTube videos, started taking classes at my college when I finally got there, and got into a few classes with the head of the music department at the school, Professor James Bond. And he was incredibly helpful in helping keep that spark going, because he was somebody who a few years prior had just redeveloped the music program at the school that I went to, at Stonehill College, into a music like bedroom production coursework load. And it was all of the things, the spark for it, his help just kept going years and years.
Absolutely. Yeah. I remember being a kid. No, I'm an old man, and I grew up in Metro Detroit, and this was in the '80s. And I remember when the techno scene first happened, all of my friends were, I always grew up, I didn't hang out with any art people. I didn't know any. I was the only one. But
sure,
I always hung out with musicians because they usually had a lot of girls that hung out with them at their parties. And
that's right.
They were cool. They were fun to hang out with. And I got a lot of good ideas from them. But I remember when the techno scene first hit, everybody switched over. Suddenly, nobody was hiring rock drummers. The 808 came out and it changed everything. And
sure did.
You didn't have to pay somebody because you bought that, and that was your cost.
I know.
And then you had unlimited
relatively cheap too, which was a nice, maybe the key factor to its success.
Absolutely. Everybody, it was so new. I had a friend of mine who was in a rock band, but he was sick of his bandmate. He wanted to just do his own thing. He called me up and he goes, "Hey," he goes, "let's hit the pawn shops this Saturday because I need to find me a drum machine." And I'm like,
"Yep,
okay, we can go look. I don't know if there's going to be any. This is new stuff. I don't think it's filtered yet."
Sure.
And he goes, "It might have. Somebody might have been in a spot." And I said, "Okay, let's go." There wasn't any at that time, but and it was weird too, because all the keyboards, I remember the synthesizers. And I didn't know this, but I was hanging out with some musicians and whatnot, and they're like, "Hey, look at this new synthesizer I got." And it looked like a piece of a stereo component system. I'm like, "Where are the keys and all?" And he goes, no.
You plug your keyboard into that.
This is what does all the thinking and
patchwork synthesis.
And he paid like, I don't know, $3,000 for that.
Yeah, those were not so cheap.
No. And I didn't even ask where he got the money, but
Yeah,
he was the coolest.
That's awesome.
New project was like, our local Depeche Mode here. It was amazing.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's very cool.
And then fast forward, I remember when I was in college, all the music kids that I knew were Aphex Twin had just hit. And
there you go.
Sampling. And not sampling, like everybody thinks when they think sampling that aren't in the music business or whatnot, or that scene, they think, oh, well, they just steal a piece of, take a piece of somebody else's song. These cats in England, it's kind of, I think it was called the jungle scene, was they were taking like, oh, here's the rising orchestra score in Lawrence of Arabia, and we're going to take that, reverse it, speed it up, and you're
yeah, it's unrecognizable.
And there's 47 of those, you know what I mean?
Exactly, from
different things. And I remember thinking then, and I'm like, oh man, technology and the internet. This was pre-internet. Like, I think there was an internet the government had, but we didn't have it. Like
right, not a public access.
We didn't have it. We couldn't afford a computer. Me and my five college roommates.
That's right.
Yeah, when I moved to California, this was probably very late 90s, early 2000. Napster was a thing, I remember. Everybody had a computer at home. And then you started seeing, well, first off, you saw the rise of DJs.
Yep.
Because you didn't need a turntable anymore. You could do stuff in Fruity Loops or whatever.
Yes, I did.
And then I saw the musicians taking these tools and coming up with really amazing stuff, exactly like you've done that. What thank I mean?
Yeah, thank you.
It continues on. And I'm not saying, because you hit a lot of old people like, oh, well, all they're doing is pushing buttons, you know, and you're like, yeah, all Eddie Van Halen did was pluck a string, you know?
Yeah, I mean, right, exactly.
It's just a different tool.
Yeah.
And the most, I'm a painter by trade. That's what I've done for 25 years. I paint pictures of shit and sell food on the table. You have our little podcast, but that's prime. Mm-hmm. That's the business. And everybody thinks the hard part of that is the ability to paint it. Painting a painting, in my opinion, that's the easy part of it. The hard part is figuring out what to fucking paint. To say, okay, we're going to do this and blah, 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 and figure that out. Painting it, that's just, because you've already painted it in your head.
Exactly, yeah. From a music perspective, of course, I absolutely understand what you mean there.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying is you come up with these ideas and put it out, and it's, yeah, we're gonna play your latest single, and we're gonna play one you had out before that I've been playing all week, and I love that track.
I appreciate that.
It's stuck in my head right now, and I saw one of your YouTube shorts earlier today with that was playing in it. It's
doing my
still
best.
In there.
It's still in there. That's crazy. I'm good. Well, I'm glad it's that catchy. I mean, I hope you don't get annoyed by it, but I'm glad it's catchy enough to do that.
That's good art. That is good art.
Thank you.
That's what makes a Campbell soup can a painting. What I mean?
Right. That's true.
It's because you it sticks with you. And that's amazing. So you get out to LA and wow. I mean, that's crazy. Were people worried about you? Is your mom and your pop like holy moly,
well,
he's
going to
get a face tattoo.
Yeah,
he's going to
exactly,
come
right?
make Post Malone.
That's right. Yeah. Me and Post best friends. My mom has been very supportive of me my whole life. She's a musician by trade too. So she gets it. She understands that sometimes you just sort of, you just have a calling, right? And this was my calling. And I'm very lucky to say that my dad was the one who moved out here with me. So he and I are sort of facing this together. And
you've got somebody. Yeah.
I have somebody
You're not
to
totally
do it with.
Your own.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
I'm very lucky.
Meet a gal, and he's like, she's got an Adam's apple. Just know what you're getting into. No, I'm kidding. I'm teasing. That's another show.
That's right.
I don't know anybody that's ever happened to. It's California, baby.
Yeah, right. If there's one place.
Florida's probably now. Florida, all the girls have OnlyFans. That's
right. Well, that's true of California too. To be fair,
and it's so weird. Speaking of that, this isn't a political show by any means, and whatever. But our brilliant government here decided to ban all adult websites and content. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what are you going to ban Disney next? That's what everybody does here for a living. I can think of 45 people I know.
Right.
And I'm not saying whatever. I don't judge anybody, but I'm just saying they're making that business here.
Well, and it's financial freedom, and why not, right? Like who are you to say that you can't do that for a living?
Exactly. And if they're buying a Lambo, well, you got to register your car based on value here. Which yeah. is the California, I think you do. You used to.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I don't know. Oh, man. When I first moved out there, I got an old Jag. Nice. It was cool. Thought it was cool. No, it was, right. it was terrible. I could put gas in it. It had dual tanks on it. I could put gas in it and watch the fuel needle actually move down.
That's not good.
And I'm like, geez. But when I went to register, it was like, you know, $1,200 or something. And they're like, well, it's the value of the car. I'm like, cars, let's go in. You want to go into the parking lot? That car should be in a junkyard.
Right.
Yeah, it's got a fancy name, but I'm sorry, sir. It's our policy.
Yeah.
Vote.
Right. Thereby. Yep. Right.
But yeah, I'm just saying. I'm saying that they bring money into everything. So
they
shouldn't mess with them too much.
Absolutely.
Anyhow. So that's cool. So you hooked up, you got in with Trend PR, one of my favorite PR firms out of all. I deal with about 20. Mm-hmm. And I've never heard a bad thing about them. And they're just so professional. I don't know if you've ever seen the press kit they send out.
Yeah, they showed me the press kit. Yeah.
It's brilliant. Nobody else does that. They're really? Like, here's the band. I think the lead singer's name's Mike or something like that. And
Trend is wonderful. Amanda's wonderful. She does a very, very good job.
Like, I'm looking at it right now, and it says, who's going to be on the call? Jeepers. Mm-hmm. And then in parentheses, pronounced J-E-P-P-E-R-S, he is a solo artist. And I'm like, yeah, I know how it's pronounced, Amanda, but thank you.
You'd think, but a lot of people, I have to clarify quite often.
Really?
Geepers. I get geepers a lot.
Jesus Christ.
I know. You'd think it would be clear enough, but oh well.
Man, and I got all these talking points they sent and the artwork. It's fantastic. Mm-hmm.
They're wonderful. Absolutely.
Yeah, they do a good job. I'll tell you something, a little secret between me and the lamppost.
Okay.
They're the only firm, every Christmas, I get a Christmas card from them.
Look at that.
I don't
That's
get
so
that
sweet.
From anybody. I send out Christmas cards to everybody who bought a painting the past year, you know.
That's sweet. That's fun.
Yeah, I'm just, cost me $12. I mean, it ain't that much.
But it means a lot. No, I understand. Yeah, they're wonderful. I actually came across them. Well, talk about government bands. I came across them on TikTok while I was back home for the holidays for Thanksgiving time. And I saw their content and reached out. I was like, hey, sent them some of my music. And they reached out pretty much immediately. They were like, hey, we would love to represent you. And here we are. So
nice. When TikTok went down, my wife, I'm not on TikTok, and folks, it's not political. I'm an old man. I don't use a phone. My wife's got a phone. If somebody needs to get a hold of me, they can call her. It's kind of my. And the whole reason I don't use a phone isn't because of the government or any of that. It's I'm old, and I set stuff down and forget where it is. And I rarely buy things on payments. So I went to the phone store. I don't know what they call it, Apple something. And I said, how much for a phone? You know, and they showed them all to me. And I'm like, well, how much is that? Like, it's $1,000. But don't worry, your payment will only be. And I'm like, I don't want payments. I'm just going to buy the thing.
Right. Yeah.
But $1,000 for me to leave somewhere or go through the wash machine or something.
I know, right?
I'm not doing it.
You got to be careful.
Yeah. And I got a voicemail. People can leave me a message. I don't care. And so I don't do TikTok, but I listen to it every night because as me and my wife go to sleep, I have the weirdest dreams. I'm like, why are these people dancing in my dreams? It's weird.
That's funny.
Because she scrolls through.
Sure.
And it comes into my subconscious because I'm hearing it.
Yep.
But anyway, when it went down for the day, if it was even a day, she comes running in. And she's like, you better get a hold of Amanda. And I said, well, what's going on, babe? TikTok's down, and I know all of her people are on TikTok. You know, that's their primary social media.
Yeah.
And I said, damn, I didn't even think about that. You know, I mean, you have a website, and folks, it's probably floating around the screen right now, and there's definitely a clickable link in the description below.
That's right.
Along with all the social media and whatnot of Geeper. I'm kidding.
Of Geepers, exactly. Feel free to give me a follow if you'd like.
You've got a cool website. I dig your
Thank
website.
Thank you. I appreciate yeah. that.
It's, yeah. it's artsy, but it's not too artsy.
Not too artsy. Know? I appreciate graphic design. I took a few classes back in school, and I am okay. I'm no artist by any means, but I sort of know.
I really wish I didn't hear you say that, because there's going to be... Well, let me message him on Instagram and see, how do I remove the background from this and buying Photoshop?
That's right.
He's like, without,
yeah, the $70 a month Photoshop.
Another subscription thing.
Always.
The streaming.
I got rid of
my cable. So I'm like, because I'm flipping through it and there's all these Jesus channels and baby channels and shit. I'm like, I don't want this. Why am I paying for this?
Right.
So I got rid of it. Bought it. We have four TVs in our house. And so I went out and bought four Rokus.
Okay.
I said, now we're good. We're all set, right?
Mm-hmm.
No, you got to get subscriptions for all that shit.
Yeah,
now.
Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't
and I'm paying nice? The same amount as I was.
Yeah, I'm sure. If not more.
Yeah. And I'm just like, it's subscription. Everybody has a subscription. I mean, I've got a Patreon, but, you know, I don't know. I give shit.
Well, that's a different sort of thing, in my opinion, because it's willing support.
I didn't have one for the longest time.
Unnecessary willing support is different than locked behind.
My wife, she's quite a bit younger than me. She's 15 years younger than me. And I didn't have one. I was real reluctant. I'm like, I'm not begging people for, are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm.
She got sick a couple years last year. It was the year before last year. Yeah. Well, she's all right. She got healed up, but it was scary then. And her sister started a GoFundMe.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Her sister and her mom did not tell me we're at a family dinner. And it comes out, oh, well, the GoFundMe is doing it. And I'm like, GoFundMe?
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, yeah, we did that. And I'm like, I've been hanging out with Jeepers or something. Because, no, my first thought was, my brand. I can't be... having a tin cup out with my brand, or I'm trying to sell fancy paintings.
Right.
So I was concerned with that. But anyway, Patreon, I didn't want to do it. And then my wife knows me, and she knows how to work me. And so, oftentimes, I don't even realize until I think about it later. And this is one of those times, because she had set me down. She goes, really, all Patreon is the VIP section at a club.
That's right.
You what? Pay a little That's something, but
get
you
a little
get...
extra.
Yeah, once she explained that, I'm like, oh, yeah. And that's, in fact, what we call our patrons.
VIPs, I like that.
Yeah, you know, because what are you going to do?
Yeah.
But,
yeah,
she totally played me on that.
That's funny.
You know,
it's good. Though. You get support from the people that want to support you.
Absolutely.
I feel that way. If people are willing to support you, no point in telling them no.
Hey, speaking of which, so your dad moved out there with you.
Mm-hmm.
How's he digging? No snow and
no
40 below degree weather.
I think quite well. He grew up in Rochester, so talk about snow.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and so we're both quite happy about it. Tell you that.
I knew some people from Rochester. Yeah, Rochester. The big thing when I was a kid, if you lived in Rochester, you wanted to get the job at Kodak. That was the big push, but I don't think Kodak's in business anymore. You
know? I don't think it is. I know. They sort of shot themselves in the foot when they developed digital cameras and then stuffed it down and made sure nobody could develop it, and then somebody else did.
Did you know that's going to happen?
Of course it is, right?
Technology's like that. It's crazy.
I keep moving.
Yeah, I was at Target with my wife the other day. We walked by and there was a 70-inch television for $280. I'm like, less than $300? That's insane.
Yeah.
For
insane.
Wall TV?
I know. It was so wild.
Absolutely. But you are really on the forefront, but you have to be with your art, your music.
I have to be. It's true. It's not something that I particularly have, I would say, a passion for. But something that
I imagine.
Exactly. But because at the end of the day, what I love is making and performing music. And it's just one of the aspects of the job that comes with it that I don't love, but I am willing to do in order to keep creating.
Absolutely. One of the things about computers that bugs me is I feel they're over-engineered a little bit.
Sure.
And something won't work on your computer, and it'll take you 5 hours to find one little box that's buried under. It takes you 17 screens to get to, and you got to untick that box or tick it. And then everything works great when like, you know, you got to figure out that box, though. Watch a lot of YouTube videos.
YouTube's great for that. It's how I learned how to create music.
Yeah, absolutely.
Produced. Yeah. It's a great website.
I'm telling you. And folks, we're gonna utilize Jamie's cough button here. How about that?
Perfect.
It worked, but we'll see.
I think it did on my end.
Well, that's good. That's good. I paid a little money for that. But
nice.
Trying to be fancy. Anyway.
That's nice.
So let's play a track. Should we start with the new one?
Let's start with the new one. Yeah, let's do it.
So here it is, folks. This is Jeepers, and this is Lavender. We're going to play it, then we're going to talk about it. And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Amazing. It's the power of editing.
Isn't that beautiful? Beautiful
thing. I'm telling you. Hopefully we won't talk about a certain African horse-like creature, because that'll screw up my whole thing.
Exactly, that's right. Yeah. I'll do my best to steer clear.
Yeah, they're going, what the hell are they talking about? No, they won't say that, because I'll edit all this out as well.
Exactly, perfect.
We're back, ladies and gentlemen. The track is Lavender. No, is Lavender out? Because
it is. Yeah, it came out just this past Friday on the 24th.
Nice.
Brand new.
No, when a track comes out, I imagine there's a lot of watching stats, a lot of refreshing mm-hmm. pages and whatnot.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I on the day of release, I'm always a little, it's some interesting mixed feelings because it's this thing that sort of leaves my control because it's something that I created from nothing and has become something that I no longer can do anything about because it's just for everyone else. So it's sort of, I struggle with how to feel when a song comes out because I never really feel happy or excited. And I try to let myself feel happy or excited, but I never do. I always just feel a little anxious, but
absolutely.
I take some time.
Are you a tinkerer? I am with my paintings, and mm-hmm. there'll come a point when my wife's the boss, Applesauce. Mm-hmm. I know when I call her in to the studio, I said, okay, here it is. Mm-hmm. And she kind of gives the yay or nay on, or, well, this chin is a mess, or blah, mm-hmm. blah, blah.
Sure.
And we get it fixed and whatnot. But once she gives the nod of approval, and this isn't like some weird contract we have, or mm-hmm. it's just, that's when I step away from it.
Know. Right.
Yeah, and I stop. Otherwise, I'll go right before you came on camera. Mm-hmm. I was looking at this thing, and I'm like, "Ooh, I got to fix that." And that's absolutely. Why this paint is sitting here. Mm-hmm. and I did. Mm-hmm. That will continue.
Yes.
Until I step away from it. Are you that way with your music?
Into an unfathomable degree. I have my right monitor right to the right of me has a list of. A huge list of notes of things that I need to do exactly that. I am lucky that I have very sensitive ears because it helps me with creating, with mixing. I mix, produce, record. I do everything myself except for the mastering my dad and I do together. My dad a little more so than me. And then I just sort of final touch stuff. And so it takes a lot of intense focus and tinkering to get it to where I want it to be. But then I finally get to a point, usually after about 2 weeks of hard work, I can generally write a song in about a day, 2 days. But to get it to what I would say is like finished to a tinkering amount is about 2 weeks. And then past that, I try and sit with it for another 2 or 3 weeks and see if anything sticks out. And then past that, I try my best to not find anything else. I often, once I hit go on the distribution website that I use, I stop listening to it because I know that I'll find something that won't even be a correct tinker. It will just be a different change that I could have done.
Right.
So I do it exactly, right? Something that is not correct, right? It's just something that I can do. And so I just will tinker forever, but there's no point, right? Like art doesn't need to be perfect and it's perfect art doesn't exist, or if it does, it's not art. So
right. It's you've moved into design at that point. And
exactly.
And that's fine. We're not throwing shade at anybody who does that, mm-hmm. but yeah, absolutely. I get it. Let me ask you this, because I see a lot of equipment behind you and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And knowing how your process is, do mm-hmm. you, I imagine you do a lot of your own production side of it, or do you get the track and then go to a big studio with
long
hair and a bunch of buttons and stuff?
That's right. No, all in-house, all by myself.
Nice. Yeah. That ain't cheap. That ain't cheap.
No, it's not. And it's something that I'm happy to be able to do, but I also, it's part of my control freak tendency, I think, but also it's something that I've spent a lot of time learning how to do. And I am very proud of my ability. I think it's something that I am particularly good at. We were talking about how I'm not very good at being the, what do you want to call it? I don't know.
Production's hard.
You know. And that comes, the tinkering comes with that.
And it's so funny because so many inexperienced musicians that I meet and come across and whatnot, there's mythos in our culture on how things, a good one from my world, the artist studio has to be this mishmash and it's just a mess and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Not mine. Mine looks like you could do surgery in here only because I like to know where things are. Cause I don't want to waste time hunting something up.
Mm-hmm.
And with your deal, so many of these kids, or I shouldn't say just kids, but new people getting into it, they have these ideas of, yes, Jim Morrison might have sat around a studio or the Beatles or whatnot, but you got to remember, they had a gazillion dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they had a like
unlimited amount of money.
It was paying people for that shit.
Yeah, right.
You know? Oh,
yeah.
Order a pizza, guys. We'll sit here and eat while we bullshit or smoke a bong or whatever. When the reality is, when you go into the studio, it is like riding in a cab. The meter is running by the second. Mm-hmm. And then you get into video production, and all this stuff costs money.
Yeah.
And so are you going to throw all your money, your budget into this? Mm-hmm. Or can you see, you're ahead of the curve in what
I am in that way.
Jeepers, it's so refreshing because, and I don't say this with any negative connotation. Yeah, I read your press kit, whatever. I've watched some videos and this and that. You seem so laid back and cool and just, I'm like, well, I wonder where he's going to call in from on the deck of some yacht with a bunch of girls walking around.
That's
you know,
great.
He just seems like that guy, you know?
Yeah, I appreciate that. I try to be cool.
You're hyper-focused, though, in the business of it. And
yeah,
I predict, let me put it this way, if you're a horse, I'd bet on you because...
Thank you.
That's
the Saratoga right there. Right?
I'm telling you. This is a person who... When you look at that, you look at whenever you do any type of business deal, you look at who you're doing the deal with, you know, and obviously this person knows what the hell they're doing. They can do what they say. And that's rare. That's rare.
Appreciate
especially
that.
With a young artist, a new artist, really.
Yeah. Pretty much.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
Thank you.
And you did the first thing that so many don't do. You surrounded yourself with a team. You know what I mean? Nobody gets it. I tell people all the time, I'm like, I don't care what you're doing. You could be the best quarterback in the world, and you could probably get the ball down the field, but it's going to be a rough going if you don't have the rest of the team out there.
Ain't that the truth? I'm so lucky. The amazing people at Trend PR are doing wonderful work. Very recently, I just got invited to join Green, if you've heard of Green Tea Studios, they just opened up a distribution service. And I am one of the sort of first artists to be working with them for their distribution service. But I, at the very core of what I'm doing in art, oh, I lost you for a second.
It's fine. Okay. We'll fix it in post.
Fix it in post.
It's all good.
At the very core, I think I am lucky to surround myself. I have a few very, very close, very talented friends who are my musician, my business artist support group. My friend Connor, who is a brilliant, brilliant businessman, and he does rapping, and he's a brilliant artist. My friend Ben, who is an incredible live player and just knows what he's doing as far as like finding people and reaching out and talking to people. And then my best friend Elijah, who plays, he's the best guitar player I've ever met my whole life. And he plays some guitar on my upcoming debut album, not to get into it too much, but
I've had it in front of me. Snoozin'.
Sure. Snoozin'. That's it.
Yeah.
I am incredibly proud of the work that went into that and to be friends with these amazing people who have helped me create stuff like this. Cause without them, I couldn't do it truly.
Like I said, I grew up hanging out with bands and musicians and people in bands. And usually in my experience, young bands, there's usually one guy or gal that is the driving force behind the band. Booking gigs, getting checks in, making sure everybody rehearses. And everybody else is there to meet girls or whatever and being cool and stuff. And I'm not saying that shouldn't happen. I'm just saying there's usually one person. And it sounds to me like Jeepers said, okay, that's the way the game is. Let me make friends with all the one guys in their respective fields and surround myself with that. I read an article, by David Bowie. And it was just a collection of interviews.
Yeah.
This is a couple years ago. And somebody had asked him, they said, man, you have so many hit songs. I mean, how does that happen? And he said, the secret is when you surround yourself with the best, the results will show that.
100%. And, absolutely. You know,
he goes, and he added, he goes, you get to a point in your life where you're not hiring people that are going to waste time. And how do you argue with that? Well,
No, I mean, that's it. Spot on. That's spot on. Right? Yeah, absolutely. So like I do my best to follow what I'm supposed to.
When I just looked to verify the name of the new album, Snoozin', first off, question on that, because I am selfish and I want to hear more. And I know Trend PR. Is there a tentative date when that will be dropping?
There is. It's mid-April.
Nice. Yeah. What that means, ladies and gentlemen, is expect Jeepers to be back on the show around then. You know,
that's right. Yeah, I hope to be.
I love hanging out with people that they get it in whatever it is they're doing. It's just it's refreshing to me.
It's so nice to talk to people with passion.
Yeah, and that understand what they're doing.
Absolutely.
Now, when I looked at that, I also saw, because again, Trend PR is awesome. They sent a little thing of talking points. And right underneath that talking point is, and we just played Lavender, this energetic and playful love song centers around the subject of his partner's lotion fragrance.
That's right.
That's where the inspiration came from.
It sure was. Yeah, I was. Sort of what this song is about at its core is that I often struggle with letting myself write about like the things that I've heard so much, like a love song. I don't write very many. Most of my songs I write are about some of my anxieties and inadequacies that I see in myself, because I feel like that is what worth putting out there, and it helps me. It's therapeutic for me, so that's what I do. However, I wanted to write a love song, and I didn't really have anything original to say, because what is there original to say? Which is sort of what the song's about. But then I sort of landed on, I was next to my partner one morning and thought, like, I was like, oh, that's a really nice lavender lotion scent. And that I was like, what? There is a good idea. There's something that I can sort of focus on that is original, but also the song sort of focuses on the fact that I don't have anything original to say, but just to love anyway.
I get you. I get it. And it's brilliant because, dude, that's a better track to play at a wedding reception, ladies and gentlemen, than The Police's Every Breath You Take. Don't play that at your wedding reception.
The stalker song.
That is not a love song. No,
it's not.
Jesus.
No, I know.
When I was listening to the track the other day, my wife, she's got a crazy job. She works at a retail chain that sells cosmetics. I don't want to say it on the air, but
sure.
Think Orange, ladies and gentlemen. Think Orange, and it's in a lot of strip malls.
Yep.
Anyhow, she runs one of those, or works at one of these places. And so she worked a double. Somebody got sick. And so she comes home and she asks me, she goes, hey, do you have a plastic tub or something, a bin? She goes, I really want to put some Epsom salts in some water, soak my feet a little bit. And I'm like, yeah, I'm sure I got something. So I came in here and found a box first, moved all the extra paint I had in this plastic tub into the cardboard box. Here you go, dear. Well, see if this will work. And it did. And so then afterwards, after she had done that, she was all happy. We were hanging out. We were getting ready to go to bed. And I said, here, let me dump this so the cat doesn't get into it or anything while I'm sleeping.
Yep, sure.
Don't need the cat on bath salts. That would probably be bad.
Not great.
And so it had she had put some kind of lavender oil or something. I don't know. She's a girl. She does potions and shit, you know?
That's right.
So I went and dumped this out in the backyard. And man, I got this smell. I was like, that lavender smell hit me. So when I heard your track when I was getting ready earlier, it reminded me of that
moment,
of that smell. Yeah,
I really appreciate a song that is, or any piece of art. I think some of the best is about little intimate moments, something that you don't really otherwise notice. And it's something that I try to incorporate into anything that I'm making. And I'm not always the best at it, but that's what this is. And I appreciate it for that.
let me ask you this. Is your partner, well, first off, they got to know.
Mm-hmm.
They got to track that. How cool is that? I'd be walking around with my chest out. You have to buy new hats. My head would be
That's
so
right.
Big.
She said, yeah.
Nobody ever wrote me a song about, well, if they did, you know,
yeah.
I don't know about it. And ladies and gentlemen, don't send me the I hate Jamie. I hate Jamie.
Yeah. Well, if you have anything you want me to write a song about, you just let me know. I'll try and fit it in.
In my younger days, man, I had a PhD in pissing women off. I took me a long time to figure that shit out. I finally did, though.
Good for you.
Not only did I course correct the sailboats, I just did a 180.
There you go.
That's what was needed.
That's right. That's funny.
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
But now, number one, they have a track written about them and whatnot. That's got to be a cool feeling. They were probably surprised. No, are they in the business as well, in entertainment?
No, she does neuroscience.
Really?
Yeah. Well, not at all.
Interesting. Jeez.
Very different, right? Yeah, sure.
Oh, man. You meet her out in Boston?
Yeah, college.
Yeah. Where did she go? Tufts, or she was one of those?
With me, Stonehill.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
College,
yeah. Nice. Well,
yeah,
you know, a doctor in the fam.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the next six out. No, I'm kidding. I'm teasing. No, that's cool.
In the recording studio, yeah.
But you have to know your shit. I mean, yeah, I got a master's in art history, but
mm-hmm.
it's fucking art. You know, they called an MFA, mm-hmm. which really stands for Masters of Effing Around. You know,
that's right.
That's the reality.
Yeah.
But yeah, neuroscience. Jeez, Louise, that. Mm-hmm. Holy moly. Well, that's cool. That's cool.
Yeah.
And obviously supportive of your endeavors and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So she moved out there also, or she already?
No, she's still in school.
Oh, she's still back east.
Yes. Gotcha. Yeah. So I just graduated in May. So I'm a recent grad.
I gotcha.
Brand new. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing to do. But it's not so bad because we live in me and you are sitting here shooting the shit and stuff, mm-hmm. and we're 3,000 miles apart, and we're doing
it's not that
different.
Hard. It's true.
This ain't the Civil War.
Yeah,
dearest Isabel.
Exactly.
The weather was mighty warm today.
I'm coming down with a sickness.
That's right. I had to saw my leg off the other day.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, thank God those people made it through that. Thinking about that during the pandemic, mm-hmm. everybody's like, the U.S., you kept seeing it. The last time this happened was 1918. And I'm like,
mm-hmm.
man, that's pre-Netflix. What, were people just reading books by candlelight? And...
who even knows? I know.
Jeez.
1918, any electricity? I don't think so. Not too much.
And then you outlawed drinking on top of that? What the hell were you thinking? You know?
Who knows?
The politician.
I know. That's right. Always trying to do something, aren't they?
I love there was that show a couple years ago on HBO. I loved it. I love these period shows.
Mm-hmm.
Boardwalk Empire, which was New Jersey and all the underworld gangster stuff.
Interesting.
And the show starts out, and it's all these guys, and they're all politicians and corrupt in their little world, mm-hmm. and they're all run gangs and stuff. But mm-hmm. They're cheering because of the, I think it was in the 19th Amendment, where they outlawed booze.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, those idiots have just made us so much money. You don't.
Right.
You know, they were so happy.
Uh-huh.
And they did. They created that whole world.
Right. Roaring 20s right there.
I'm telling you.
So they did something. I mean,
yeah,
I don't know if it was right, but.
No. It was
economic
stupid.
Boom. Yeah.
Yeah. Crazy. But that's cool. So another track that I've been playing of yours that I just am in love with. It's a fantastic mm-hmm. track.
Thank you.
And again, the vibe, I've only seen the video for it because the mm-hmm. vibe in this video is. And it's a lyric video. The vibe in a lyric video. Who could say that? But it's the music, really, that creates it. That carries it along.
Thank you. Yeah.
But that's where I thought you'd be on a yacht somewhere, drinking Cristal and with a whole bunch of cool people. Somebody with an afro would walk by.
That's
it was just a cool
exactly.
crowd.
Nope, just in the studio where I made it.
you push me to the limit, oh, oh, and ask for more, oh, oh, I come back again, thinking it'll be different, but what never changes, and the thought of it sickening. Just too much work.
It's amazing. It's amazing. But it's such a cool vibe. Yeah, Work is the name of the track. Work. Mm-hmm. And now that wasn't about you, girl.
It was.
It was about you. It was. It was. Holy shit. Two tracks.
Yeah.
And one of them's Work.
Yeah.
Slap your well, face.
I know, right? Yeah, more or less. More or less. Well, it was, and also about just like, I feel that way about, sorry, I feel that way the way the song is written, right? It's just feeling sort of overburdened by work, right? That's the idea. By a lot of things. So it was not strictly, but in part, sure. Yeah.
Well, you guys do have a long distance relationship and
a lot of work.
She's going to school for neuroscience. I imagine she's mm-hmm. not. I'll tell you this, Jeepers, mm-hmm. you don't have to worry. With somebody with that kind of, and she's probably taking 35 mm-hmm. hours or something, who knows? Because they always do, mm-hmm. those smart people. But you don't have to worry about her hitting the clubs or anything on a Friday night because, no, that's they great. Don't do that, yeah. you know?
No, none of that. In the books.
Yeah, absolutely. I used to be friends with a bunch of people who went to Berkeley out there. Mm-hmm. And you would think, oh, man, they're going to Berkeley. These are the creme de la creme types, and they'll be fun to hang out. No, they were not fun at all because they never went out. They never did anything but work.
Yeah. I do have to self-admit that I am sort of that way too.
Yeah, I was going to say.
It's how I get to where I'm at, but who knows? Who knows what's the right way to do things, right? Like prohibition, who knows?
Nightclubs are dying out anyway. I was just talking to a guy I know who used to own Seven, and he's like, yeah, people don't socialize like that anymore. You know?
Different world.
Yeah, you used to roll into the club, I remember, and you had your group of people, and right this way, Mr. Big here. He goes, kids aren't like that. If anything, that turns them off. They're intimidated by that. They're like, I don't want to be around this guy.
No, I would not. I would not.
Yeah, you know.
Not my vibe, for sure.
I was talking to my wife about that too, and she was like, yeah, it's a different world, man. She goes, socially, sometimes people go to cons. Like, she has a group of girls, and they're into cosplay, dress up like superheroes and shit, and go out. And that's great. I am not bitching about that. My inner 12-year-old is going, there's a group of people in my living room putting on tights and stuff and getting ready to go.
Exactly.
I'm
right.
Like, yeah, I won the lottery there. Are you kidding
exactly.
me? I would never go to a con. It's just not my thing. But she's like, yeah, they socialize there. Or she same a different group of people. She goes and plays Dungeons and Dragons. I'm like,
classic. Yeah.
What am I, 12-year-old? And they keep wanting me to come. Right, and I read the new Dungeons. I'm like, this isn't Dungeons. Yeah. There's robots in this. What? That's are you funny. Insane?
I haven't played in a while. I haven't played in a while, but I did back in high school. And I always enjoyed it as somebody who's enjoyed being creative because it takes a lot of making up. It's like improv.
Absolutely.
So I always enjoyed it for that reason. That's fun.
I played until I was 12, and then I went to visit a family friend, and she had a neighbor. French kissed a girl for the first time, and suddenly my interest in Dungeons and Dragons...
No more.
I had this group of guys that were all, we all played Dungeons and Dragons together, and they even confronted me. They're like, you don't even come to the meets anymore. You don't even want to play. I'm like, no, I don't. I want more of that French kissing stuff. That's right. Way better than hanging out with you guys, casting spells.
But now your wife's playing Dungeons and Dragons, so let's see, that all turned around, huh?
It's true. It's true. I make them all cookies, and they all come and play. So
that's fun. That's super fun.
They did once. They actually have a comic book store that has tables. They have a big back room, apparently, and they have kids rent the space and play their game. I thought that was pretty smart.
That's cool.
But yeah. So we got sidetracked. Work.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Jeez. And you sent this to her? You said, I made a track. Oh, you never have time to text me back?
That's right. I can't. Honestly, it's been a little while. Don't know that I did. It might have just been make this. I sent it to my music group. I said, here's this. Worked on it until it was done. And it was out.
It's great. And you've got a great voice on it, a strong voice on it that fits. It fits. That's the summer jam, man. I can see people playing. I'm picturing somebody in a convertible driving down a 101.
I love music that is feels that way. It's something that really is fun to me. I like enough sadder, slower music, but it's not what I want to make generally. There's some other stuff that I do make, but it's something that I just love so much. So I try to put more of it in the world because there can never have enough, right? Like, it's fun to have more.
Interesting juxtaposition because the music, melodically and the music part of it is so upbeat. And your voice is so upbeat. And it's like, there's this girl on YouTube. I watch her shorts and she sings 90s and 80s songs and in her car, makes a video of it. And as she's singing it, she's realizing what the words are actually saying. Like, and she did, the last one I saw was she did Queen's Another One Bites the Dust. And she's she's like, this isn't good at all. This is not a good story.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because, like I said, it's so upbeat and it's so poppy and just cool. And then you listen to the lyrics and you're like, being pretty harsh on somebody here.
I love an oxymoron. You know?
It's interesting. It's definitely cool. I am. Yeah, and we've all known that girl.
Mm-hmm.
James Louise, we've all known her at one time, or we've been that person.
Sure. You know? Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, it's... I do have to say a lot of the things that I write are about myself. So even if it's inspired by somebody, I think I do tend to write about things that sort of annoy myself about myself, even if I do see that in other people. So it becomes sort of a glue, an amalgamation of the things that I experience. So it's never truly about, I mean, other than Lavender, it's never truly about one thing, one person.
I gotcha.
It's about an emotion, I guess.
Well, and it's relatable, though. And that's, I think, especially with pop music, that it's such an important part. And I'm not saying Taylor Swift is not related. I think a big part of her success is, you know, everybody always jokes, it's a trope. Oh, she sings about breakups. And, you know, mm-hmm. You ever notice, folks, there's a lot of 14, 15-year-old girls that are think she can walk on water.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're all going through that first hard, that first one is rough, baby.
Yeah.
I don't care who you are.
Sure is. Yes, it is.
And here's somebody that understands what I mean, yeah. Or at least mm-hmm. has also been through
right.
that.
Right. And can sympathize, empathize.
Yeah. And it's
absolutely
something to keep in mind, musicians out there, when you're making stuff. I always joke with my musician friends. I'm like, have you heard Europe's The Final Countdown? I'm sure you have. If you've ever been to a sporting event,
mm-hmm.
why don't you think about making an anthem, you know, mm-hmm. Something? And those people get a check every time that's played.
I know.
So it might not be a bad investment.
Yeah, to try and make it. So making it's a little harder than thinking about it, I suppose.
Yeah.
Making something that crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, if I could write Bohemian Rhapsody, I think I would, but.
Yeah. And then that's another thing during the pandemic I started watching is reaction videos, and it was so great mm-hmm. to see these young urban guys insert mm-hmm. black rappers and stuff, and they had never heard Bohemian Rhapsody, and they mm-hmm. play it and film the reaction. That's and they're fun. Listening to the lyrics, and they're like,
yeah,
this guy's gangster right. as fuck, are you kidding?
That's,
you know,
yeah, it's true.
It was amazing.
That's funny.
But I like it. I like work. I was listening to it Thank the you. Other day. I was in here doing what I do, painting away. And my dog, my crazy dog, comes in here. And she's mm-hmm. not a jumper. She doesn't jump up on people or anything like that. But she jumped up on me because, and then I looked at the time. I'm like, and I'm listening to the song. Maybe that's what it was.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, okay, you need some attention. I've been in here for 6 hours straight.
That's funny,
I get it.
Funny. That's great. That's adorable. Let me stop. Well, I'm glad you appreciate it. I'm glad that you like it. That's very nice.
It's awesome. And Lavender's just as good too. So
I appreciate that too.
You know, you're hitting them out of the park. You're hitting them out of the park.
I'm trying my best. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Well, it's definitely cool. And now let me ask you this. Because mm-hmm. of your process and whatnot, mm-hmm. does that make you think there'll be any like live shows supporting these, or do you think
I would love to? I mean, the issue is finding places to play live, but I play quite a few open mics to sort of test this stuff out. I am actually playing a live show in LA this Saturday on the first a Breaking Sound show. It's just a 20-minute acoustic set. I'm excited about it though.
Great.
Yeah, at Rudolph's Tea Bar, I think it's called.
Very cool.
So I'm excited for that, but I'm hoping to just keep meeting people and getting more opportunities to play, because I have all the music. I play by myself for now. I would love to have a band to play with, but
yeah, you know,
exactly,
and
right.
It's gonna be a drag. But exactly. The cool thing, well, one of the things that sucks too is I'm not in the music business. I go to a lot of shows, hung out in that world a long time. Mm-hmm. I'm not a big fan of LA's pay to play. They're like, here's 200 tickets you're responsible for, and somebody's paying for them. Hopefully it won't be you if you get out and you're like, oh, I've got so much free time. Let me go hustle some tickets to somebody that they're not familiar with yet. Mm-hmm. It's hard because all of my marketing's been on a global scale. You know, it's great if I was playing in New Zealand where I'm
in
New Zealand or something.
Sure, right.
But no, I get it. The best venues I've seen city-wise was in Vegas, where Vegas is a weird scene because they're 24 hours, most venues.
Mm-hmm.
But they're also, there's no door charge because they can't charge a door cover because they're competing.
Yeah.
Because Aerosmith is playing down the street at MGM or something, you know, Tiesto's here or something. You're competing against that. So there's usually not a cover charge. So how does the band get paid? What they do that I saw, and this is a couple of years ago, so this could be different now. They'll run a Z tape at the beginning of the person's set. Well, first off, the person's like, yo, come see me play. I'm playing from 3:30 to 4:30 a.m. It's the weirdest thing.
That's
take
funny.
A nap, you get up, move together, and go see your friend.
Make it work. Make it work.
Yeah, but so they run a tape at the beginning of their set, and they said, okay, here's where the bar is. Then they run a tape at the end of their set, and they said, you get 15% of this, or whatever the deal is.
Yeah, right, sure.
But I liked that because there's no question,
and
they haven't, at the time, there was none of this nonsense of merch fees or any of that kind of bullshit, which I think is ridiculous, but whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've known too many bands that that's how they got gas to get home. All this money from the merch table, save me having to go get them. That happens. Absolutely. But it's part of it. It's part of it. But you've done real well.
Thank you.
We'll continue to do so. That's my prediction. I
appreciate
can't wait.
That. That's very, very kind.
Now, do you think you'll have another single drop before the album drops?
I sure do, yeah. And I can tell you exactly when and what it is if you'd like.
Absolutely.
Sure. Let me pull up a calendar. The single's called Fine Line. I'm very, very proud of it. It's actually, of the tracks on the album, it's the oldest one. As far from, I wrote two of them before Fine Line, but they didn't get like sort of fully finished and recorded till pretty significantly after. All right, I believe it's March 7th. I think that is the date.
That's awesome. I'm going to be emailing Amanda. I know she doesn't like having guests that quick back on the show, but I'll sweet talk.
We'll figure it out.
That I know she's coming to Florida every so
that's
often,
right,
I'll,
yeah.
you know.
Exactly.
Pick up a dry cleaning or something. Do what I got to do. And folks, if you're looking for a good PR firm, I don't know how it works. I'm not in that business, but do whatever you got to do. Get a hold. You want them in your corner.
They're wonderful. And, they're great.
Usually how that type of stuff works is you send them a check and they earn theirs. If that's how they do it. I don't even know if they do it.
It is. Yeah.
They may just VIP Studio 54 it and say, yeah, we'll represent you. No, not you. You in the back. You look cool. You know.
Right. Right.
No, I don't think they could if they wanted to.
They probably could. Yeah.
Yeah.
But a little more the former. A little more the former.
Yeah. But absolutely.
They're wonderful. I agree.
Well, very cool. Well, you're really, and I say this with a lot of sincerity, you're really good at what you do. So I hope.
Thank you, Jamie. I appreciate
that. You know, keep doing it. If you ever wake up one morning and you're in your fields and saying, I don't want to do it today. There's a cat in Southern South Florida that hopes you do. And I'm going to be going, because obviously you are going to be doing this. When I have those days, I'm going to be going, well, hell, Jeepers is doing it. So get out of bed, Jamie. Come on, let's go.
That's right. I'll go right back at you then. Right back at you.
Yeah, I was doing something the other day. I was in here. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I was watching YouTube shorts or something not productive, something that doesn't make me any money.
Right.
And the wife came in, just got the electric bill. And the wife came in, she goes, hey, are you going to paint today? And that's when I know a bigger bill came in.
Yeah.
God damn it. We've been running the AC. I'm going to paint today and knock something out that afternoon. Just so
exactly.
Pay
it. Yeah.
You know, it's again, she works me. She works me.
That's so funny,
man. But it's how it is. Well, that's cool. No, is the whole album going to be this cool vibe that you got going on with these two tracks, or a similar?
Yeah, name? Similar nice. For sure. Yeah, nice. I think you like it. If you like those first two, I think you like it. It's got. I am hugely influenced. You mentioned it before we started recording, but I'm hugely influenced by the sounds of the 70s, and I've got a lot of. There's some. Some funk in there. There's a lot of 70s rock, yacht rock. Like, I love the Doobie Brothers. There's plenty of that. And
that shit, man. My father, he not only was into yacht rock, he bought a yacht, and then he was really into yacht rock, you know?
Yeah, got a rock on the yacht.
Yeah, and I'm telling you, there are 70s tracks when I've had different things happen in my life that relatability thing. I'm like,
amen.
What Rage Against the Machine doesn't have a clue on what I'm dealing with right now.
That's true, right? But Electric Light Up, Yellow, they got you.
I'm telling you, yeah, Telephone, and it's, yeah, my father was very musical. He was always, had music, and he wasn't a musician, but he just always had it on.
Sure.
And it's so funny. My father-in-law cracks up. He's like, how do you, Sullivan's Alone, that was a big hit in Scotland, I think. How do you are aware? And I'm like, yeah, man, I listened. That shit was constant, you know?
Right. That's funny.
But not just yacht rock.
Yeah.
You grew up in Detroit, you're into Motown and shit.
Absolutely.
I like that 70s vibe, though, because, and you're seeing it a little bit. You're seeing it slip into the zeitgeist a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, my whole thing is following trends. I can spot a trend like 50 yards. It's, I'm seeing it. And I'm incorporating in it. I'm hearing musicians like you. Mm-hmm. And I just did a painting, I don't know, a month ago that sold in like 30 minutes.
Wow. Yeah.
And I was listening to Rupert Hines, the Pina Colada song.
Classic.
That was the inspiration. Because I hadn't heard Jeepers yet, folks. Look for the painting.
That's coming. Right. That's right. That's funny.
Jesus Christ. But I even titled the painting that, great, you know. She likes Pina Coladas.
That's funny.
And she had the big round glasses that were kind of a yellowed, orangey tint to them.
Mm-hmm.
And, somebody in Dallas, Texas bought that immediately. And then bought several more.
That's awesome. That's cool.
Yeah, so it's the weird thing in my business is I have different groups that different types of collectors. So some abstract. I haven't painted an abstract in a week or two, so I had to do that, so they're happy. So I'm not hearing them grumbling. And then I got a whole bunch of horror people.
Oh,
I had one guy that I was concerned for because I'm like, is this guy a serial killer? Man,
right.
What he wants me to paint is a little too, I don't want the FBI come into me.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Painting in a buried storage or shipping container. So I got the horror people, so there's a lot of vampires with that, but it's different stuff. Mm-hmm. And then I kind of known for my glamorous women up to no good. Paint, which I lived in, that's just like, that's,
yeah.
Well, it's nice to have different, which, you know?
Yeah, right. Exactly. It's nice to have the different arms. I have a huge respect for so many genres of music. I love the '70s, but I love like 2000s alternative. I love Vampire Weekend. I'm sure that comes across.
I didn't expect Phoenix. To hear that.
Yeah. All of that. I love 2010s pop music, which is some of that synth work, but also the funk stuff like Parliament and Funkadelic, but also some of the more modern funk stuff.
Oh, Mars, like the
True. Yeah, absolutely. Mars, you know? That's right.
And he wasn't the only one, but there was there was a lot of Lady Gaga was kind of flirting with some of that. And it's interesting. And your generation, I have so much respect for that you guys are multi-genre interested. I've seen your playlists.
Mm-hmm.
It amazes me. Because you're kind of single driven. Whereas like my old ass, it was all albums and we were very genre.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, I had groups of friends that I hung out with that was all metal growing up. And I would sneak home and put on some Duran Duran. If word ever got out that I was jamming to that or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, right. I remember one time I went to a concert and you went to a Duran Duran. I said, well, yeah, this gal I was with, she wanted. Mm-hmm. I had that conversation just to.
Right.
I so took a gal to a concert, not because she was into the band, but I was into the band and I wanted.
Right.
I needed the cover.
That's crazy. Oh, yeah.
When you're 15, the things you do.
Exactly. But,
anyhow, Jeepers, my little thing's going off. I know I kept you longer than I'm supposed to, but. You're fascinating, man.
I appreciate that. That's nice. It was nice to talk to you. I really had a great time. Thank you.
Absolutely. And folks, that's going to wrap it up for us. Remember, the world's still a weird place full of weird people. Be patient with people. Be kind to people. And all the links to Jeepers is below us. And like I said, it's probably flying around the screen as we speak. support independent artists and musicians and filmmakers and stuff. I think the lesson we all learned during the pandemic, we all ran out of shit to watch on TV. Mm-hmm. So we were watching all this crazy stuff on YouTube and whatnot and Tubi and things.
That's right.
These independent artists got us through, baby, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And if you want something that sounds fresh and cool and you have something to play at your parties, add Jeepers to your playlist.
Thank you.
And if you got somebody's email, you can always send them a track. I'm saying, who knows? Work may resonate with you on an individual level.
Mm-hmm.
Send her that single. And
mm-hmm.
I don't know about that.
That's but, right. It might be a little harsh, but maybe. I don't know. Yeah,
who knows? It's a great song, folks. We played that up way more than, but it's, yeah, lyrically, it's there.
It's long.
Okay, we'll see you next time. Be cool, everybody. Thanks for tuning in.
This has been pop art painter Jamie Rocks's Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. It has been executive produced by Jamie Rocks, recorded at his studio in Deerfield Beach in South Florida. All rights reserved by Pop Rocks Limited.
Hola, Oli, Pop Rocks Radio.
Estás escuchando Jamie Rocks de Pop Rocks Radio. Manténganse al tanto.
Hej, det här är Hicks från Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rocks Radio med Jamie Rocks.